Welcome to the What's Your Next podcast. We got a group chat episode. We got Amy, we got Sarah, and we're going to talk about our reading life. We're chatting about reading apps. I was sharing with them the Patreon app, which yes. I'll talk more about it later on in the season. But we're going to talk about how our reading has evolved. What do we do? How do we get our recommendations? And how do we juggle it all? New releases, ARCs, backlist titles, and all the things in between. So first things first, Amy, tell us where you've been up to, what you've been reading, and then we'll go to Sarah.
I am at that point where I'm scrambling between, do I read more 2025 books? Do I stick with my backlist books? Or do I move on to 2026 books? So instead of reading much, I'm just frozen and not reading much at all.
Yeah. The executive function paralysis of too many choices.
Yeah.
It needs to be study.
I know. I think you rubbed off on me.
Yeah, sorry.
This time. No, I am reading. I'm just not making very much progress. So I decided that until December hits, I'm going to read 2025 books, maybe. And then I think in December, I'm ready to move on to 2026 books. I'm still on reading holiday books, though. Somehow.
Yes. A little bit.
I'm not burned out yet.
Yeah.
It's coming, though. But other than that, I'm not really, I don't know what I'm doing with myself. I'm just kind of dicking around until January, I think. And I don't know. I'll figure it out, I guess, as I go.
Yeah. And Sarah, what have you been up to?
I've been reading a little bit, mainly audiobooks, a few romances that I quite enjoyed, and then a bit of nonfiction. I've been trying to find a holiday read that just really sounds amazing, and I'm just having the worst time trying to find a little cute, cozy holiday romance that's not 400 pages, that doesn't sound like 20 before that I've read. So
I do have a gift for you on audio for you. So you have books to read. So
amazing.
So we got One Night, Two Holidays by Ali Brady.
Yeah, I was going to say it's 2 hours, maybe.
A two-hour audiobook. It's narrated by Julie Whelan. So we like her. I think it's narrated by Julie Whelan and Teddy Hamilton. So that's perfect. So there you are. So there is that.
That's fun to try.
Then we have another one, The Gift Rarely Given by Amber Cordova, which is 3 hours long. And then we got The Christmas Exchange by Callie Millie by 4 hours long. So those are audio.
Thank you. Love it.
Because Megan Quinn, her holiday book is really funny.
Oh, really funny. It's long. But the Megan Quinn book is funny. It's long, but it's just
But fun. It doesn't feel as long. I don't feel. And the Lauren Blakely. Me and Laura both like that too. That was delightful and really well done on audio. Another one that's long, but if those are good, if you're looking for rom-com, funny, laugh out loud,
that's
kind of
what
like
I'm looking for.
Did you read Megan Quinn's last year one?
I did not.
It's the first in the series, and you don't have to read them both, but they were both really fun.
They're really funny.
Maybe I'll give them a go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hers run a little long for me.
I know. You just speed up the narration when you start getting bored. That's what I do. Just bump it up a little bit more.
I will give it a go. Yes.
I will give it a go just to see if it's your vibe, because those have been my favorite holiday reads this year so far. Yeah, I would say.
Laugh out loud funny. I'll definitely give them a go.
I love Megan Quinn's humor. She makes me laugh really hard every time I read one of her rom-coms. Yes. So she kind of reminds me of Tara Civic, who I love. I think her humor is great. Yeah. I like that style of humor. So we'll see. Maybe it'll work for you.
So we got some book recommendations for holidays for those who are not. We're unsure if they want a little bit of a shorter audio. We got three of them, but then we got some longer audios, but they're excellent. They're full cast audio. The Megan Quinn has Shane East as the narrator of the story, which is really funny because then he's narrating the story and then we have the characters actually talking to the narrator and be like, what the fuck are you talking about? So it's a fun one. It is spicy.
Yes.
I did listen to some spicy sections. Well, I was in a drive-thru of
Chick-fil-A. I was just going to say,
Chick-fil-A. Just the most politically correct drive-thru. And then I was listening to it sexy at the restaurant that closes on Sunday to go to church. So this is how you do it. If you're going to go to Legend for Act, get some Olivia Correct ticket, and you might as well just sweep the spicy scene.
I love it.
Spicy chicken. So... All right, so this time I've got to read in life. We've been lifelong readers, the three of us, but we have been doing this for almost 10 years. So we've been in the content creation space for a long time. So talk to us about your reading before getting into Bookstagram, because the three of us started Bookstagram and then have evolved into other areas.
You want to start, Amy?
Sure. I would say before Bookstagram and becoming an actual book reviewer or whatever you want to call it. I have always been a girl that likes series, so that hasn't changed. Like, I've always been a series reader. I've always been a library girl. I love going to the library, and I remember walking there when I was a kid and like getting books and loving it. And I still was like that before Bookstagram for sure. I think I read more thrillers back then than I do now. And romance, I didn't read a lot of straight romance. I read more women's fiction and like British chick lit, like that early aughts kind of stuff. I was very into that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I've always been a fan of ebooks. I've always been a Kindle girl, even before. I loved reading ebooks. And I think audio definitely came into play more. I don't think I tried an audiobook until I was a reviewer, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think I knew they existed, but I do remember, this makes me seem really old, when I first started doing audio reviews for Hachette, they used to mail me burned CDs of their books. And this was 2016, you guys. So it wasn't that long ago, but Nita would mail me the books that I wanted, and I would listen to the CDs in my car when I was driving.
Oh, gosh.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. But I remember, I don't even know how I got started with her, but I remember being like, well, this is a game changer. And then it evolved into, oh, there's such a thing called Audible. Oh, Libby has audiobooks I can download. And then that's when my reading like really increased, honestly, because I was like, okay, now I can read while I'm folding laundry. This is amazing. So I think that is the biggest thing that has changed for me, honestly.
Yeah.
I love that. You introduced me to audio. So it was like, because I didn't do audio. I was straight up like just reading all day in my phone. So
yeah, I always forget that. That's crazy.
So how about you, Sarah?
So I'm a big library gal too, and big series gal too. I was big into cozy mysteries before Bookstagram, and just going straight through a series and at Barnes & Noble or at my bookstore when they came out, or trying to get in the library line. Lots of chick lit, women's fiction, British chick lit, Confessions of a Shopaholic.
The best.
Changed my life. I just absolutely adored her. And Sophie's
Becky
writing.
Becky Bloomwood for life.
Oh my gosh. Just such a moment. Such a literary moment.
Yes. So, what a time.
Tried to kind of, I love thrillers and mysteries, but those were harder for me because I feel like the ones that I was seeing, they were very male-centered, a la Dan Brown, Da Vinci Code. Like, they were that type of thriller, John Grisham, like, all the stuff you see, and I'm like, okay, there's got to be more out there that's better suited for me. What's definitely changed since I became a reviewer is really having a community more to talk about books with.
Yes.
And, you know, getting out, I felt like I was just kind of reading alone, alone and enjoying stuff and not having someone to really talk about it with or to get recommendations. I knew books on CD because my grandma used to check them out when I was like younger. And I remember she checked out Silence of the Lambs. And then she was my petite little grandma was listening to it while walking in the woods. This is not the great choice, but it was books on CD or books on tape. And so I used to do books on CD in my car. And so I remember like when I started getting advanced reading copies, and I was not an e-reader like you, Amy. I kind of was like, how do I download this to my tablet? I'm reading on my tablet.
What is happening?
It was totally new. And then when I started reading that, then I got a Kindle. I'm like, I could produce so many more books if I can listen to them into the books and CDs. And actually, when I got my new car, it didn't have a CD player. How am I going to listen to my books as I'm driving? So the early listener copies were a game changer for me, like when those came out, really having a community. And I read chick lit, women's fiction, but I wasn't super into romance. And so Laura really introduced me to a lot of romance. And then, of course, Amy, you and I read our beloved series, Virgin River, together.
Oh, my gosh. I know. You know? Really, so, that honestly. Same thing as you were talking about that with romance. I'm like, you know what? I did read a little bit of romance, but it definitely wasn't a go-to genre for me until talking with you guys and getting recs from you guys and finding And then I remember reading like just trad published romance. And then it was like, oh, wait, there's this whole world of indie romance. Is this about? There was so much to explore. So, and now it's at least half of my reading, if not more.
Yeah,
for sure.
Totally. Yeah. Sure. So just like that sense of community, and I'm not as active, but, you know, there's people that I've built relationships with. And so I trust their recommendations. I trust what they're reading. But that's really the big game changer for me.
And getting to read thrillers and mysteries that I like, and
knowing that more people enjoy cozies than me when I was sitting at my apartment, 21 years old, reading Blueberry Muffin Murder.
This is wonderful.
Love it, Sarah. I love it. Oh my gosh, I love this. Yeah, I love the fact that we connected, because I too was a trickling reader in its early aughts. And then I moved to New York and I was like basically following my recommendations for what I was seeing in the subway, because at this time there were no Kindle e-readers. This is 2000s. So I was like, right, for people reading on subway, what's going on? And then I would go to Barnes & Noble and see what was popular. And now, and then I'll just read the backlist, read everything they have, and then I'll be like, okay, what are we going to read next? And it wasn't until I had a podcast and someone was like, hey, there's BookTube. People talk about books. And I was like, wait, there's a community of people talk about it? Because for me, reading has been such a solitary act, should you?
Yes.
And then being like, realize I'm like, no, there's content creator, there's like Instagram, there's places you can talk about this. And so one of the things I realized that for me was, because I was not earning a lot of money in New York, and New York is expensive, then I could not afford to buy books, because my dearly beloved friend, who used to sell $1 books, checklist, a lot of really great books for $1, they turn it into a lot less, like a discount store. I'm still sad about that one. And so,
yeah.
So it's, I think it was my coworker told me, I was like, no, there's a library like down the street. I work in City Hall by the Brooklyn Bridge area. And there's actually a library down the street. You can just request books from the library. I'm like, wait, I'm sorry. I can request books from the library and they can get them for free. And that's how I became a library user. And lo and behold, I didn't want to be on social media. And so I was in a really boring office job that I had doing literally nothing. So I started downloading ebooks on my phone and just reading and pretending that was doing work, as one does, and just banging on send on romances until I decided, I was like, oh, maybe I'll just do Kindle Limited. And then just.
Yes.
And I think we connected in 2020 because you were both reading Virgin River. And
we were reading Virgin River. And I think Sarah was like, oh, she's making a Patreon. And I was like, okay, let's check it out. And that's when we really started talking like daily and all the time and stuff. But yeah, Virgin River, definitely. And me and Sarah were always friends before that, but that really was like, oh my God, this is the best thing that we've ever done together.
It was so much fun. That was the Audible romance too.
Yes.
Was it Audible Escape? We started listening to it around holiday-ish season.
We did.
And it was like, we'd listen to it and I'm like leaving you, I'd pause it and be like, Amy, oh my gosh, did you get to this part with Hope?
Yeah, I remember you specifically sending me a voice note and being like, oh my God, you have to start this. You're going to love Mel. And I believe the reason that they were reaching out to us was because they were starting the show.
Yeah.
And they were doing new covers and things like that. So we were like, okay, we'll check out this series. And I remember being like, oh my God, 18, 19, 20 books, whatever it was. But damn if I didn't blow through all of them.
Mm-hmm. So good.
That Audible Escape was just so much fun. I got through Ray M. Thane's series. God, I read so many great books through that. I was devastated when that went away.
That was really a wonderful time. I remember reading Rayanne too with you. Because it was kind of, Rayanne was more like rich, cute, funny, millionaire, single mom. It was like, it's drugs and crime.
Like a little bit of crime ring and all this. Yeah, a little bit grittier. Yeah, it was great. And then I ended up binging most of Robin's books. Like I went back to some of her other series. She has one, I think, called Thunder Point that was on Audible. Like I ended up, Grace Valley, which was loosely connected to Virgin River. I went through that one. That was just, it was so fun. And remember, Sarah, we ended up hosting like little chats where we would read a book every month or something.
That was just
a fun time to be a little romance reader. Because
it was
Instagram.
Like the, we did the countdown to Virgin River Virgin River. And we did one at a time, like waiting for the new, we timed it where the new book would come out.
Yes, it was so much fun. That was so much fun. That was just a fun time to be. And a community, like we were saying, like with other readers, because it is such a solitary thing. Like I know when I was in high school or younger, I didn't have friends that I talked to about reading. None of my friends read.
Like, it wasn't something that I could be like, oh, did you read the new Babysitter's Club book? No. Like, I would talk to my mom, and my mom would humor me, but it's not like she was excited about it.
Yeah, like, I wanted to talk to friends, but nobody, like, unlike Gen Z, we're older millennials, so we did not have social media. We didn't have other people in other schools. We didn't have text messaging. We were just a phone, and it was just a conversation about your hyper-local thing that was happening. And we're not talking about your books if you're the only reader. So I think that was like the big part of a change. What social media did was open the opportunity to connect with other readers and connect with other students.
Definitely.
And we all have been burned by bad reviews and bad recommendations and everything. But I think it's been helpful to build connections. So I think as we talked about it, like, we connected because we have some shared interests and we have some things to do. But how do you think you have been able to foster some of those friendships with other creators or other people you consider book twins for you, hooking guests? Because you're good with Dennis, actually, scared and straight. Like, you have a relationship, but you can pinpoint what he likes, which is...
Yeah. Right? He's so funny. He posted something the other day, who would you trust with your book recommendations, and tag me. And I was like, no, literally, because he will text me sometimes and be like, would I like this book or not? I know you gave it 4, but would I like this? And it's funny how an online friend like that, you learn each other's tastes. Like, I feel like all of us could recommend a book to each other pretty easily because we know each other's tastes well enough. And yeah, there's a few more, like Jamie, definitely. Beauty and the Book, we could recommend books back and forth to each other. And Dennis, for sure. I don't know if there's really anyone else, but then I have a lot of people that I do trust their recommendations to an extent too. I might not talk to them about books every single day, but if they post, this thriller was amazing, I'm like, oh, I might actually bump that one up because they liked it more. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, it's basically observing what they like, observing what their taste looks like, and be like following up. And sometimes, I agree with your take on this, or no, I don't agree. But you know what? I don't agree with you. May mean that someone that I may not go for reading taste, but I can recommend somebody else for that taste.
Absolutely.
You know, you're 1 star, it's a 5 star for me. So if you give 1 star, then it's for me. The 1 star for you.
Yes.
It's not a place where we get dictated your taste is a whole homogenous taste. So.
And Dennis and I rarely agree, honestly. Like, it happens, but it's rare. But I still get tons of recs from him because I know, oh, he thought this was a 3 star, probably going to be 5 for me. Cool. So it works both ways. Like, his negative review, like you were saying, might push me to read it more. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think people think about, oh, it's a Goodreads review, it has to be this star. I'm like, sir, do not make that determination. Your own reading taste, your own content warnings, your own areas where it works. And then to be like, okay, look at those 1 star reviews and see what is going on, and look at those 3 star reviews because it might be more critical about it than the 5 star. The 5 star reviews are typically like, oh, gosh, like, it's the greatest book on earth. And then it probably tell you maybe what you're looking for.
Right.
Totally. I remember when I first started really getting back into reading and utilizing Goodreads. You know, I'd read a book from the library, and again, before I had anyone to talk to, really, I'd be like, oh my gosh, this book is amazing about this and that, because I was able to connect to it. And then I'd go be like, let me go fill out a little review. And I'm like, 3.2 stars. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with people? But that's such a good point and a reminder too, Laura. And I'm guilty of that. I'll go on Goodreads and be like, if I see a book out and about, I'm like, okay, what's the consensus? But then I'm like, okay, I need to trust my gut. Is this actually for me? Like, and give it a go. And if it's not for me, fine. But there's been plenty of books with 4+ stars where I'm like, no. And then there's lots of, like, Laura and I talk about, we love a 3 star read.
Yes,
definitely.
Most of the books. So what do you do when you try out a new book, the new to you book, new to you author, maybe something untested? Because we do get access to early access to ARCs and AOCs and stuff like that. Do you give books a try as I sample?
Yes, you're so good at that. I wish I was better at that. I think it's amazing that you can
do that. I basically try out a bunch of books. I give them 10 to 20% to see if it fits. And then I continue to them in different formats and try it up. But what's your take on it? Because I know, like, you're both are reading on different specific things. What do you look for? What makes you keep going? What makes you put it down? Or what makes you try out new-to-you authors?
I am not really picky about who wrote the book, honestly. I will give a debut a chance or an ending just as much as Emily Henry. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't need to be a household name.
for me to try at all. So I don't pay much attention to that. I do fall for buzzy books for sure.
Yeah.
Like even if I just hear reviewers talking about this book, then I'll download it or whatever. And as far as like deciding to read it or not, I will keep reading a book as long as I'm vibing with it at the time. Yeah. Like there's really no rhyme or reason. I know some people are like, I gave it 50 pages or 25. I don't really have a set rule like that for me. And then as soon as I'm like not into it, I'm done. And I don't DNF that often, but I'm not afraid to. I just think I've gotten to where I kind of know what I like. And it's not even so much that I know what I like. I know what I'm in the mood for at that moment. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to pick up a thriller if I'm in the mood for a romance. Like, I'm not going to try to force that to happen. But if I'm in the mood for a romance, that's what I'm going to go for.
Yeah.
So nothing really scientific, crazy. I just kind of go with it until I'm not feeling it. And every once in a while, if there's a book that I'm like, this is okay, but it'd be better on audio, I'll make that switch sometimes.
Yeah.
And that helps and changes things. But most of the time, if I'm not liking it in print, I'm not going to like it in audio or vice versa. Unless the narrator's just shit, which doesn't happen very often, I don't think, for me. Yeah. I'm not that picky about my narration.
Yeah. No, Amy, yeah, you are really good at, yeah, I'll give this a go. Never heard of this author, never heard of this publisher, but Cowboy Romance, I'll go for it.
Yeah, if it like, sounds good really and the vibes are there, yeah. I definitely don't try to be snobby. Like, I don't care. Like,
yeah,
no, I don't care if you wrote this in your backyard.
Totally.
And you put it on KU last night. I will try it.
Sure. I remember years ago, like when we first connected, literally like a decade ago, someone was talking about, this is the worst book I've ever read. It had this, it had that, whatever. And you're like, send it to me. I think I know who it is. I'll have to message you.
You'll have to message me because I don't remember who it was.
Like, oh my God. And they were just kind of like dogging. And they're like, someone else has to read this book. So I'm talking about, you're like, send it to me. I'll read it. And I'm like, wow,
I love her.
Like, she's really down for to read anything.
Pretty much.
If you're in the mood for it.
If I'm in the mood for it. If I'm not in the mood, it's just not going to happen. But
oh my gosh, this sounds wild. It was like, this sounds wild. I need to try it. Like, I need to see this for myself type of thing.
If someone makes a big deal out of a book too and says it's got a wild plot or it's the worst thing I've ever written, it was poor, I have to see for myself. Like, I think that comes from my nosy nature. Like, really? Yeah. Is it that bad? Like, I got to find out for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of those types of situations.
I think it's just. I think it just tells because you kind of real about series that too. You're thinking you're gonna try, and I was like, "There's this the Paisley Hope series. It's the cowboy one."
Yes,
we were talking about this earlier. And I think because I'm reading that series, I am debating where to pay for the freaking Audible credit or wait till I get an offer from Amazon so I can get the audiobook free because I'm listening to the series and stuff like that. But I was telling you, I was like, I read the first book, and the best way to describe it is everything in the kitchen sink cookie. It's basically, it has so many tropes that doesn't make sense. And yet I still read it. And I was like, it's for suspended sleep in this one. Because he's a hockey star, a cowboy, a bartender, and he owns the skating rink. And
talk about a jack of all trades.
Yes. And he's saving the town. And it's also orphan too. And
of course.
He's coming back. He's a retired hockey player. So he's coming back home and doing all this different thing. She is like 25, but somehow has an apartment in Seattle. She's moving back home because her fiance kicked her out of the apartment, but they own the apartment. Again, in this reality,
yeah, who doesn't own an apartment at 25 in a high rise somewhere fancy?
Yeah, in Seattle. So she has to transfer Kentucky House, who actually does Kentucky Derby courses.
Okay. Gotcha.
I mean,
honestly, give me 10 of them. It sounds great. See, I'll read that. I'll read the shit out of that. Every trope under the sun. I'm a surprise pregnancy in it.
Sold.
I'm the real person that likes a surprise pregnancy. Though most people hate that shit. I love that shit. I eat that up.
I actually don't mind surprise pregnancy. What I'm mad is that there's no more love triangles. Like, there's a deep of love triangles. All right. I need someone to be cheated on. I need someone to have things. I need to be like, have multiple things, and not everyone gets a choice.
You want some messy shit, no happy endings.
Yes, and we want some messy, angsty shit, like toxic as fuck. Yes.
You love, Laura, sometimes you love the angst. Yeah.
She does love the angst, and she does like toxic sometimes.
I love the toxic, the better, because my life is not toxic. It's like...
Right, it's like direct opposite of you.
It's direct opposite. Yeah. So you know how they say in Denmark, there's no crime, but people love no art and love really shit. I live in Denmark. It's like my literature needs to be so messy and toxic.
So out there.
Yes. Just give me the toxic cheating scandal.
Or it's like relatable, never heard of her. Give me the toxic mess.
That's why I love Mafia too. Mafia kidnapping, capture, deals
all that dark shit.
Still on the side. It's great too.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about how we juggle new releases, arcs, ALCs, backlist titles. Because you were the queen of backlist. You both had a challenge for many years. This time around,
I don't do well anymore.
Yeah. Cozy Mysteries.
I do feel like since we made the ship, I don't remember what year we started Songs of My Backlist era.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. 2019.
I don't remember.
2020, I was going to say around the same time that we met you, Laura. But that was a huge shift for me because I was starting to get burnout as a reviewer and keeping up with all the arcs, just feeling like I had to read everything. And it was like, okay, wait, no, I don't have to do that. And that was a really nice reset for me every year and something I always looked forward to. And even though we haven't been hosting it officially for the past couple of years, I still find myself doing that every fall. It's like, oh, it's backlist time. Yay. But I also feel like I've done better at trying to incorporate at least one or two backlist titles a month just to kind of keep things fresh. And it's almost to feel like I get to pick what I want to read, not just, I'm just going to read an arc and a publisher sent me this, so I'm going to read it, or I have the ALC or whatever. It's this is one I'm going to read for myself for sure. And definitely, like you said, Laura, I've been all about the cozies since for a few months now.
Yes,
for sure.
Yeah, I hate to bring it back to Virgin River, but I will, because I feel like piece of that was like, oh my gosh, imagine if we hadn't tried this.
Yes.
Imagine if we had just been like, oh, we have to read 20 new books versus these 20 backlist books.
Absolutely.
How miserable would we have that series brought us such joy? We have to do more of that. And this year I did really well with backlist titles. I honestly struggled with new because I was going to my library more and just seeing what spoke to me. And you guys know what spoke to me this summer, which was wild, was literary fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more Catherine Newman's Sandwich. And then Eileen Garvin. What was that one I read? Crow Talk, that I love. Uh-huh. It was just one where I'm I'm just going to peruse and see what speaks to me. And those books were just winning out for me this summer. But with backlist, I've been trying to, same like you, Amy, pepper it and then just, give myself the freedom. This can wait. There's other people reviewing it. I'm going to read what I want.
Yeah, so that definitely. I think I just try to keep a constant rotation and I try to rotate the genres too. I think that really helps it for me too. I don't usually get too stuck in, I'm only going to read romance. I'm only going to read thrillers. And I think the reason I'm having so much fun with cozies is because it's just another genre for me to go to. I'm just expanding a little bit and it feels a little bit different. I mean, it's kind of a mix of both of those that I love so much. That's what keeps things fresh and keeps me from going in a slump or whatever, or being burned out and not wanting to read anything. There's always something new. I keep thinking I should really probably do this with fantasy or some other stuff like that just to keep it fresh, but I just can't quite get there yet.
Yeah, that's a little too commitment.
Fantasy is the one that seems to elude me.
Me too, because I feel like it requires a lot of brain power and I don't want that when I'm reading. And they're this thick, they're 5,000 pages long. And we know how I feel about that shit.
Cozies are short.
Yeah. And I'm sometimes I find them and they're 160 pages. I'm my God, this is my favorite. It's 18 books at 160 pages. That's 9 books. I got this in a week and let's go.
Yes. Well, and they're formulaic. They're formulaic.
Oh, for sure.
Which is really soothing. Feels I'm just slipping on a comfortable, sweatshirt. I'm just slipping into something I already know versus your... And Laura knows because I tried, and I'm tempted to not say this, but I tried to read Court of Thorn and Roses. I bought it and I'm like, what is happening?
What, Laura?
I was literally Laura, what is happening?
You got to read.
You got to get through.
Yes, you got to get through book one. And I'm like, no.
I'm not getting through it.
Got to read in book two.
I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
I don't like that when someone says that about a series too. You got to get through books 2, 3, and 4, and then they're really good.
I want to have my experience with Zodiac Academy. I still didn't finish because I'm so mad that they put a 1,500 page filler book that nothing happens before the end of the book.
I'm so sorry, long.
The worst
giving me nothing.
Yeah,
that is a slap in the face.
Yes, to the readers. I was so mad.
That's terrible.
The same goes with Throne of Glass. I did not finish because I don't care about the KO novellas and how this is going to set up. I'm sorry. She promised me a 100-page novella, and then she gave me like a 500-page book. I was like, no.
Oh my gosh, no.
This book. So mm-hmm. no. That's my issue with fantasy. So those are my gripes.
Yeah, it's, and like we were talking about earlier, which books do you DNF? And for me, it's what you're vibing with, like what you're feeling. But I love, there has to be something with a character that really piques my interest. And yeah. I feel like what piques my interest with characters is that they're going through grief in whatever capacity.
Yeah.
Loss of a loved one, loss of just some sort of like something. Loss, or they're regrouping, some sort of grief element. And then I like here lately, like with my romances, I need them to be like gritty. Like I need someone to be out of prison and trying to like get their life together. I need someone to have
you want a little dark edge.
Yes. Like Catherine Cowles, like that Wrecked Beginnings.
Yes.
Like that series. That was so
you know how
like,
I feel
raw.
About her.
Yes.
Yes.
That is what. And again, like even some of the literary fiction that I read, like there's pieces of that where I'm like, OK, that's what brings me, because that's what I've noticed about books that I start and I go, this sounds good. And then I tell you guys, I'm liking it. And you're like, how'd you like it? How'd you finish it? And I'm like, oh, I didn't finish it.
That was yesterday's news. That is
yes,
never
I'm
happened.
Like, it's still sitting here because there's nothing. I guess I think for me, too, like the fantasy aspect of it, the stakes and like all of that are so different than what I experience in my life. It's harder for me to connect to it. I'm thrilled that other people love it and that it works for them. But I think that's a big piece of it, too. Or I'd rather watch someone be like, I'm trying to foster a child or I'm fostering my younger sibling and then managing a relationship. Like, I want to be riding a dragon. No, it's just I
can't relate to that. Right?
I can't relate to it. But I love that it works for other people.
Absolutely. There's books for everybody, right?
Every book has the right reader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So talk to us about how do you pick your next read? Do you have a TBR or do you have a list of books? Do you have collections? How do you organize in a way that, oh, this would be a fun thing to read and stuff like that? Because we consume it from different media. We may consume it Audible, Kindle, ARPS, maybe like Libra FM library in specific. So how do you organize and how do you figure out like what you're going to read next?
I have a super official list of my notes app on my phone.
Yeah.
That's it. And so I have an ARC calendar in there, which is every ARC I have, physical, NetGalley, ALC, whatever it may be, just so I know what's going. And I look at that usually first and see if anything's calling my name. That's usually, I try to read a month ahead.
Yeah.
With ARCs. And then if I get something that I like really want to read and it's a year out, 6 months out, whatever, I'll totally drop it and read it.
Yeah.
But I normally try to just stick to a month out. And then I look at that. And then depending on, like you said, if I'm looking for an audiobook or a Kindle book or a physical book, which is rare, I usually don't gravitate toward physical book. And then like in a typical week, I'll try to get through a couple of new releases like that. And then try to do at least one pick that is my pick, whether it's a backlist book or a library book or both, whatever it may be. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I just kind of go with that. So I try to mood read, but also try to kind of follow a calendar-ish.
Yeah.
Sort of, and with a little bit of breathing room. Lately, it's been like one ARC, 5 cozy mysteries, because that's just where, and then maybe, and some of those cozies have been holidays. Like I've been binging I think I told you, Laura, the Jacqueline Frost Christmas Tree Farm series. Sarah, I told you too, because you wrecked it to me. I'm obsessed with it and it's so cute. And so I've been like, try to read other stuff and be like, no, I want to go back to that. So I've just been going with it. I'm like, I'm not going to force myself. It is what it is. It's holiday season just about. If I want to read Christmas cozy mysteries, that's what I'm going to read.
Yeah, I requested the Christmas candy one. I requested the second one in the audio.
Did you read the first one?
Did you like it? It was cute, huh?
I did. It was cute. It was the book is A Christmas Candy Killing by Christina Romero.
Yeah.
It's little twins living in some random, I think they're in Montana. I think
Montana. I believe they moved to Montana to open their candy shop.
Everyone knows how to juice plants and they're all elderly living there.
Yes.
I was surprised it was a killer.
They had a solid mystery.
I was like, oh, this is an interesting killer.
Yes.
But it was delightful.
Fun for a first in the series. Definitely want to continue it too. And I think they're all Christmas themed in that series so far too.
Christmas related. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, hello, that's my favorite. So.
Yeah, it's... So how about you, Sarah? How do you pick your next read?
It's 100 times more organized than I am, like by far. Honestly, the hard part for me is if I don't have something lined up afterwards, then I kind of get into a, well, I could start this, I could do this, I could do this. So I like having something where I'm like, ooh, I get to read this next. So that's something
that's
I'm going to
try to work on. That's
the only
reason I'm organized, by the way, is because if I don't, then I'll go to the library, walk around for 3 hours, and then look at my shelves like I have nothing to read, and there's 5,000 books, and look at my Kindle, and then I'll... Laura knows I enjoy nothing more than making a TBR that I don't follow.
I like so channel library. I just babysit them. I bring them for a field trip to my house.
Yes.
And then I bring them
back. Love that.
Single page. Or Libby's like, what are you doing here? What's going on? I love scrolling through Libby. Like book shopping, looking at NetGalley. You know how many times I go to NetGalley and see all these read now and then download them? Do I actually do something with it? No, because it's just part of just picking book by
order
and specific.
I know. Auto approval can be dangerous because it's just, ooh, that's cute. And then the next day I'm like, what in the hell was I thinking? I don't want to read that.
Yes. That is so true. And that's me with my library books. Looks good. This looks good. Oh my God. I have so much time this week. I'm probably read all four of these. And then 3 weeks later, I'm like, you're all going back. I hope you enjoyed sitting here.
Didn't crack a page.
It's didn't fine. Crack a time. Page. Yes.
But that's totally. Good. We need to do that with our libraries now more than ever.
Yeah. I did a service.
You sure did. You did your community service duty.
And then I go drop them up and do the same thing over and over. Yeah. So if I read one that I check out, then I feel like I'm really doing a great job. But it's better for me to have something lined up. And so when I don't is when I, and that's what I, like, that's where I'm at right now. I think that's why I was messaging you guys the other day. Anyone have any Christmas romance? Because I'm then I spend hours looking for a read and then I don't find anything.
There's so many, and then by the time you're done, you're like, I gotta go to bed.
I'm such an indecisive person that makes it hard. So I love that you have a continuous lineup to kind of choose from. I should do something similar.
What do you do, Laura? I scroll.
Sample.
Scroll.
I sample.
Scroll, dabble.
Yeah. I go travel. I try like a few books. And you know what I did? I decided to, my mindset needed to shift to have to finish. And what I realized is I started finishing like books. I read a lot. I read 14 books this month. So far, which is a pretty good number again.
Yeah.
I was reading before. And it was when I stopped trying to fix like that I needed to finish the book right away. And I've been just reading a little bit more, like making more time to read. But I scroll more time on Libby and Amazon and Kindle looking for books and making lists than actually picking what I read to read next.
Mm. You rubbed off on me with that Libby making list when you told me about that. Yes. Now I do that shit all the time. It's fun though, because like you said, it's like shopping and I organize and I'm like, holiday cozies and summer cozies.
Yes, it is. Super chick. Cozy has been great because then I'm like, oh, I have one of my feeling right now. Then I just scroll and then I'm like, oh,
exactly.
And then I just like grab it.
And then you can make a listicle really fast. Yes. I've got them all right there.
Yes.
It actually, this is girl math, but I'm like, it saved time.
Exactly.
Now when I'm creating content.
It does.
Even though I spent 16 hours on it.
It really helps you try to figure out, okay, what am I going to read? And use some librarians recommendation. You're like, oh my gosh, there's this other one. I did not realize this existed. So
absolutely. Yes. And I do that with Amazon too. Fall down that rabbit hole of, since you read this, check out these. And I'm like, ooh. And then I'm like, this is what happened with Jacqueline Frost. I talked to you guys about this. I'm like, Bree Baker, Jacqueline Frost, she has synonyms. So then I'm like, on her website, like it turned into this whole thing where I'm like, how many books does she have? Oh, and now she doesn't write cozies as much anymore. Now she's writing under a different name and she's writing like upmarket women's fiction. And like, why did I go down that rabbit hole? Probably because I just wanted to find a dumb book to read.
Yeah.
And 2 hours later, I knew her whole life story.
Yes. So that's how we read. We'll be back next month with another installment. Well, thank you, Amy. Thank you, Sarah, for being on the show. Once again, this is a group chat. This is, as you can see, we're just chit-chatting about books and sharing recommendations as we always do in our actual text exchange group chat. So thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to the What to Read Next. For more book lists, cozy reads, and library tips, visit the whatToReadNextBlog.com. Your next great read might be waiting there.